was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky, through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever eaten a cornflake croquette. Today's title is, Are You Smarter Than a 1912 Eighth Grader? I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, a really great place to learn. And with me is the man who talks smack and never looks back. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to roll,
I mean,
as
if anybody
always.
Ever captured me in a sentence, that was it.
I figured as much.
What about John? Get to John.
With us today is our very special guest, the man who considers sarcasm a way of life, John Gordon. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, our main event will be a litmus test for both John and Jason as they attempt a 1912 high school entrance exam. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
When a woman feels depressed, has frequent headaches, a bad case of nerves, lack of appetite, inability to sleep well, a morbid, all-gone feeling, it is not necessarily some dire female malady, it's the liver. Don't fail to get today at your druggist a bottle of Herbine. It will quickly and surely restore the liver, kidneys, and digestive organs to their normal functions. You'll feel like a new woman after taking the first bottle.
So, John, you've got experience with women already. Have you ever experienced a woman who had some liver troubles and it was just causing everything to go wrong?
No, but I can say whenever I use this stuff, I feel like a new woman.
Well said.
Right.
So what do you think, Jason? It's the liver.
I think the liver's important. Right?
It does keep it's your really digestive juices flowing and so forth?
Oh, yeah. The answer's fine. It's, you know, the liver. It's her liver. But the implied message is, don't worry. You know, she's not crazy. She's not, you know, it's just her liver. It's a little hateful. I don't want to touch this one.
But it's fixable. The thing says, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not that big a deal. You just take this medicine.
It has a tense. It felt like you were talking to the man or other people. And then all of a sudden it went, you'll feel like a new woman. I'm like, am I the new woman? Or is it? I thought I was the husband.
Yeah, the audience did kind of shift
there.
It did shift there. That's interesting.
Right. Do you think this would make a good Valentine's Day present?
I highly recommend
the Herbine? Do we even know what's in it? I mean, what? It's herbs, I guess. Herbs.
That is from the turn of the century, so there is no telling what
it
is in
there.
It
took about 5 seconds to figure out that name. Well, we've got herbs. Herbine.
That's true. And see, I wonder if that's a pun, too. Like, her and er. See what they did there?
Yeah, and like, her fine.
I
don't know.
Be.
I'm trying to get inside the head of an advertising man in 1893.
Yeah. It's definitely a tall task for us to do. And
keep going, Brent.
Wasn't there something that you had on your mind, Jason?
No.
You had nothing on your mind?
I say no. Well, I thought about it, and then I kept looking. What he's talking about is we've listened to some past episodes, didn't realize when we came back we're so very sluggish and tired.
After
right?
a long lunch.
Right.
Is that right?
And I started thinking, that's not very nice to make fun of people struggling with overeating and getting really sleepy.
Sleep apnea and so forth.
Do you do caffeine?
I don't mind caffeine.
Right. But, like, I mean, here's a Diet Pepsi right here.
Yeah.
And it's mine. So, how many Cokes do you drink in a day, put it that way?
I could probably do about 2 liters.
That's true. Actually, you like, now that I think about it, I've seen you carrying in boxes.
Bags full of different things. Yeah, that's right.
What about you, John? Caffeine person?
Yeah, I have coffee in my car right now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like 18. I need more energy. I'm at my peak. It's just not enough. What was I talking about? Oh, the sound. Right. We've had some fun with the slowing down. I got to work on those audio tricks. That's all I got.
All right, then. That was a good audio trick.
Oh, boy.
And
Brent.
Now it is time for the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one.
Gentlemen, we have an eighth grade examination. This is actually a high school entrance exam from Bullitt County in 1912. And the first thing I'd like to say about this is we have definitely lowered the bar of education in this country, because you're talking about you need to know this to get into high school. And I'm not sure we're going to make the grade around here, but we're going to try it out for sure.
But there was less history back then. You see.
Now, that's true.
So that would have been 100 years of stuff that, you know, didn't seem more relevant.
That's true. And you'll notice that when we get to the history portion. You guys will actually be tested on the history portion of this. But we will look at a few of the other portions as we start so that you get warmed up.
Oh, yeah. Give me some 1912
ready.
Algebra.
Yeah. They didn't do algebra. They did a lot of arithmetic.
What? Don't start up with me about algebra. This comes up all the time. You're saying that at some point we didn't have algebra.
We discovered algebra. We're not responsible for algebra or calculus or any of the other really bad math. However, you'd be surprised how tricky your arithmetic could be. Check this out. At $1.62 and a half a cord.
Oh my God, I need a pencil.
What will be the cost of a pile of wood 24 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet 3 inches high? That's going to be really tricky to figure on the
fly,
right?
Yeah, I thought you were saying it was easy. It's not easy.
It is not easy. It's just not algebra.
No.
This is the kind of thing that you would figure in business
or need to
whatever.
Know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's real world math kind of stuff, but they want to make sure that you've got those skills coming into high school.
Boy, they picked a tough one.
They did. We got some English here that we can warm up with. How many parts of speech are there, and define each? That's tough, right?
I actually think I know. I mean, 8 is ringing a bell. Is that right?
8 parts of speech? I don't know. 5?
I mean, like verb, noun.
I was thinking 5.
Adverb, prepositional phrase.
Articles. You know,
there's actually, I think there's more than 5.
Huh, interesting.
But Todd's nodding his head.
You would need to know that.
Like he knows, like he's Googling it.
Or here's geography.
Oh,
try on some geography here. Name and give the capitals of states touching the Ohio River. So first, you got to figure out what state's on the Ohio River. Then you got to know the capital of each and every one of them.
Okay.
There's Ohio and Kentucky.
Okay, but what about the capitals?
The capital of Kentucky is Frankfort.
Okay, good.
There's a lot more, though.
And then Ohio.
It's not Cincinnati. Dayton.
No.
It's Dayton, right?
Not Dayton.
I don't know, man. Columbus. Good old Columbus.
Right. God. But you gotta go down the whole river.
Yeah,
and
there's
get
a
every
lot
one
states,
of these things.
John.
That is tough. That
What's
is
one
tough.
More?
Illinois.
Illinois, then you gotta have the capital.
Yeah,
though.
That's Springfield. That's good. Okay.
All right.
But what? All right.
All right. So then so that's a geography example. Then there's a physiology section, which is basically health science, A and P kind of stuff. Compare arteries and veins as to function. So that's like an essay.
Oh, arteries
do
bring
it, John.
The blood
away.
Yeah.
Arteries away.
Yeah,
there's a
and veins
device,
bring
right?
it back.
Yeah. I think like a second grader would know that. That's kind of easy, actually.
Oh, really? Well, how about
I mean, compared
question
to that math.
Number three? Question number three. Describe the heart.
It's where the love is.
If you put that on one of these things, those teachers would hit you.
You're immigrant 1912.
They would absolutely hit you.
The heart hurts, man. It hurts. Yeah, that's a really vague open. That's an open-ended question right there.
It is. It's just like an invitation for an
Two
essay.
Words.
500-word essay on like the purposes of the heart.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Civil government. They did some stuff there. Try this on for size, John. Name 5 county officers and the principal duties of each.
Yeah, okay.
That's tough.
County clerk.
Go get county clerk. But then the thing is, like, well, what does the county clerk do?
They give out marriage certificates and stuff.
Sometimes.
All right. And then there's 4 more. So I was thinking about this.
I was
thinking,
bad.
Okay, there's the PVA. That's a county position, right?
Well, wait a minute. Now maybe there's not a mayor. Maybe it's a mayor, sheriff, you
chief,
know.
Well, there's judge executive. So yeah, you have judge executive, you'd have county clerk, you'd have PVA.
Yeah, water dude.
Tax man. Water guy.
Oh, well, the dog collector. Wonder what he does. I don't know. He delivers the mail.
I don't know. Five of those, though. That was kind of true. DMV with that guy, I guess, right? Like, you go in there and get a license. And that's something.
Are we in the quiz now? Is that?
No, you're not in the quiz. We're warming up, Jason.
Oh, we're still not in the quiz. Oh, that's right, because it's all history. Okay.
Right. But anyway, so there's various sections there, and there is a history section.
Oh, I'll do this for an hour. I don't care.
And the history section is where you guys are going to earn the big bucks today. And we are completely ready. The way this will work is, I will give a question to one of you. You will have your chance to answer it. If you get it, you get a point. If you do not get it correct, then it goes over to the other person for an attempt. And then we will swap. And the next person will have a chance. And we will see how many points we have at the end to declare the winner. The questions are all history. So I will start with you, John, since you are our special guest for today. Who discovered Florida?
Oh, was that Leon? Ponce de Leon?
Very good. We are count that as a point. So now you're putting the pressure on Jason to keep up with you.
I think they probably would have discovered it at some point.
Somebody
would have done
it. But he was the one who did it, so he gets into the history book. And then Jason, who discovered the Pacific Ocean?
Discovered it?
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
So the first European to lay eyes on the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, there's only one person that could, like, if you're getting at that ocean, is it Marco Polo?
It was not Marco Polo. We're going to give John a chance to pick up the residual point.
People discover things on that side? Yeah, like.
He Japanese. Named it, in fact. That's how much of a discovery it was.
What, was his last name Pacific?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mr. Pacific.
Thank you. On this Odin. One.
John Pacific. John Pacific is the
was
guy.
Is it Aquaman? Is that who did it?
How did you? Now, wait a minute. When I gave you a chance for the point, you couldn't come up with Aquaman. And then as soon as the pressure's off, you get the right answer.
Oh, okay. So it is Aquaman. So it's this mythology.
It was not indeed Aquaman. It was a Spanish explorer named Balboa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Balboa. We were looking. That makes sense now, right? It's all come full circle. So no one gets the point there.
But this was on the 1912 Bullitt County High School. Like the freshmen had to do this.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to know this. For us to teach you the real stuff.
Okay.
These are the basics.
So it's an eighth grader.
Exactly right. So we are going to go back to John for his turn. And who discovered the Mississippi River?
Lewis and Clark?
Nope. They had to cross that to get to what they did discover. but that's not them. So Jason, then. Who then discovered the Mississippi River?
I'll say Dan'l Boone.
Nope, it's going to be a little bit before that. Oh. That is the Spanish explorer De Soto. No points awarded there.
Oh my God, that's
either player.
I knew that. Could you pick the long one next time? Oh, I get partial credit because in my head I knew it was De Soto from an episode of Seinfeld. That was George Costanza's favorite explorer. Right? And so he says, De Soto.
All right.
And Jerry says, what'd he do? Oh, he discovered the Mississippi. Right?
Oh, okay. Well,
and then Jerry said,
the episode, but apparently they did.
But this is the like nexus part of it.
Okay.
The meta part of it.
Okay.
Then Jerry says, what I said earlier, like they wouldn't have discovered that anyway.
Right. Oh, and that's where it came from.
Look up the episode.
Okay, then.
All right, I'm going to stop. I'm in a loop here, I know.
So, Jason, who discovered the St. Lawrence River?
Oh, is it my question? I thought I got... Okay. Oh, I didn't know DeSoto. The St. Lawrence River was wait a minute, that dude that went up, you know, to Canada, he's got a lake or something named for him. Hudson.
Not Hudson, so let's see if John can pick up the point.
St. Lawrence.
Mr. St. Lawrence. You're definitely taking the cerebral approach to this, right?
Hudson, that was a pretty good answer.
That's a really good answer.
He was
it
up
just
there.
Wasn't quite. Yeah, he was. He was fooling around up there, but it was Jacques.
He's just hanging out.
Jacques Cartier was our answer on that one. That means neither person
awarded
the
points?
Point. Yes, there are points on the board. The current tally is John 1, Jason 0. And we are going to go to...
It's still going. He's like talking over it.
Yeah, it's too long. It's true. But all right, then, John. This is a way to pick up something. Sketch briefly Sir Walter Raleigh. And that doesn't mean draw him.
All right.
Like describe him?
Yeah.
Walter Raleigh.
Oh, he probably had like a mustache. That's everyone had one back then.
That's true. Big full beard.
Yeah.
I think he did have one of those curly
beards. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, like one of those.
He seems like a curly bearded guy.
He's Sir, so he had to have some kind of like fancy
but he
mustache.
He was especially like, he was actually like that.
Like extra curly.
Okay. Keep not knowing it so I can do it.
I think he's giving up officially at that point. And so we're going to turn it over to you, Jason.
I know some of this now because.
Okay.
As always, I watched a movie, and I recently watched...
There's a movie about Sir Walter Raleigh?
Well, no, sort of. Cate Blanchett as Elizabeth, and then there was a second Elizabeth. The second part of her life, it's all about Sir Walter Raleigh. And he was an explorer and just a sea captain, fought battles for her, and it was kind of like a love interest. Is that what you're getting at?
We're going to count that because he was the Queen's favorite, and he was an explorer, so...
Yeah, sure. Now... Oh.
Point awarded.
I got
it. We are
now
all knotted up at one. It's getting suspenseful out there.
So, Walter Raleigh, and he's named for a lot of stuff too around here, right? I mean, he's a well-known explorer of America. What do you do in America,
definitely.
Though?
So his American thing is Roanoke.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Just the landing.
Yeah. And then he also, he didn't actually go there, but he had it commissioned. And then he actually did go to Guyana. Down in South America. So he did a little bit of all that kind of thing.
And claiming land for England. So.
Right. And anytime you get somewhere first, that means you get to claim it under those rules back then.
It's like a parking space.
It is exactly that. And so whether you pull in forward or go in from backwards, right, there's another Seinfeld thing for you.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. So that means we are going to go to Jason then as his turn. Briefly sketch Peter Stuyvesant.
He's on Family Guy.
that's him. Peter the little one.
Stewie. Did you say Stewie though?
Stuyvesant. Yeah, Peter Stuyvesant.
Peter Stuyvesant. Oh, that's okay. That's his whole name.
Yeah.
Having a clue.
Right. So we're gonna turn it over to John and see if he knows Peter Stuyvesant.
I don't even know who that is.
well, in that case, no points for anybody. And a really long sound effect.
This is a lonesome sax.
It's a trombone. Thank you very much. And this guy was the last governor of Dutch New York. He was there right before the English took over. So you would have to know that as one of the key episodes in American history. Because after that, we have New York.
Well, sure, right. But they wouldn't. Right. That mattered then.
All right. So then it's John's turn at this point. And we're going to ask him... to say what war was the following battle fought in? The Battle of Brandywine. What war?
The Revolutionary.
Excellent work. And that means Jason needs to try to catch up here.
All right, what's the score?
It is now 2-1. You are down by 1.
Okay,
but it is your turn.
First, right.
It is your turn, so you do have the opportunity to catch up here.
Okay.
And in that case, what war was the Battle of Great Meadows fought in?
Now, wait. Let me put some thought into this.
Okay.
Because it could be around the world, right? It's not Kentucky.
It could be around the world. This one is actually in America.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that's a little hint there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll say Civil War.
It was not the Civil War. So let's see if John can pick up the point.
The French and Indian War.
It was indeed the French and Indian War.
Wait a minute. There's some collusion going on here. I believe, John, you are in Brent's history class.
Now, to be fair, he has taken a history class, but he has taken History 109, which does not cover any of these materials. So,
evidently.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you're going to believe
all
that.
All right, then. It's all for charity anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Your favorite charity will get the award here at the end. Let's see. And I believe that makes it John's turn.
Okay, so I got it wrong?
See, that was your turn, and he picked up the point. So then it's going to come over to John's. Yeah, it is 3-1.
Oh, because this, okay.
Yeah, so you'll need him to botch this here so that you can close the gap. All right then, John. What war was the Battle of Lundy's Lane fought in? Lundy's Lane.
I don't know, some war in England, it sounds like.
So that's a giving up, and we're gonna let Jason handle it from here.
I don't know. Who knows, right? I'll say Civil War.
Oh, it was not the Civil War. So no points for anybody awarded. And it was the War of 1812, but it does make it Jason's turn. Okay. So he's going to be able to maybe close the gap here a little bit. Oh, in what war was the Battle of Antietam fought?
Wait a minute now. You didn't even... Is that right? Did you say that right? Antietam?
Antietam.
See... Because he's a history person, he knows that we are all saying it wrong.
Well, how are you saying it?
Antietam. Like if there was a movie, they'd say Antietam. Not Antietam.
I guess when two vowels go walking, the first does the talking, right?
No, I'm saying you're doing the professor like correct version.
All right. So
but
then
in my
what
world,
war is it?
It's Antietam.
Okay. What war? What war?
Now that's definitely the Civil War.
Excellent.
Yes. This sounds, yes.
All right, then you have closed the gap. He left the door open for you there. He hasn't stepped on your neck just yet. So then, John, what war was the Battle of Buena Vista?
American-Spanish War?
No, not the Spanish-American War. So we go to Jason to pick up the point, see if he can tie things up.
He said that. What a terrible answer.
Actually, that was a pretty good answer.
It was. That's the only other one I know.
It would be the most recent war
right,
at that time.
And it would have to, have that kind of towns and stuff.
Yeah, I think that was a great guess.
No, it was actually. It was my guess.
oh, that's why it was terrible.
Was there a Mexican war? I don't know. No, I'll say like whatever it was, Teddy Roosevelt in Cuba, that war, the Battle of San Juan Hill.
Wait, wasn't that the Spanish?
You guys are indeed talking about
the
same
war.
So
right,
with that.
Oh, is it Mexican War? Is there a Mexican
War? It was the Mexican War, but you had it and then went away from it.
Yes, I did.
Let this be a lesson to anybody who takes a test. Your first instinct is usually correct.
Oh, Brent. Out there. My first instinct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I second guessed that there was a Mexican War. It just sounded like too simple of a phrase.
Now, the good news is it is your turn, Jason, and you are going to be able to try to tie this thing up.
Oh, it's that close. Okay.
It is close. It's very close here.
All right.
So.
This is so much more fun.
Name two presidents who have died in office.
Oh, okay.
And you don't have to limit it to 1912. We'll just go ahead and use all of your American history on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I just will answer in a more interesting way. McKinley, he died in office.
Okay.
And trying to think of one that's not Lincoln or JFK. Because that's what you said to do. Oh, Roosevelt, Franklin.
Franklin D. Roosevelt would indeed count, even though they didn't know him back then. He would count for us
some
today.
Just die, you know. They're not always assassinated.
Yeah. Oh. Are in good shape there. And
so it's tied up.
And you have tied things up at 3-3. And that means we're going to turn to John to see if he can extend his lead here a little bit. Name the last battle of the Civil War.
Oh.
and the Commanders.
Oh, well. Whoa, he just, okay. he just threw some more in there.
That's what it says. That's
I
the
believe
question.
You said that he took History 109.
He did, but 109 starts at 1865.
Yeah.
You're right. You got me on that one.
I'm pretty sure the Commanders were Lee and Grant.
Okay, you're almost there.
I just can't.
So where did that happen?
Oh, right, yeah.
Where did Lee surrender to Grant?
I don't know. I don't know the battle. I know the town.
Can you come up with it? You're so close. Oh, we're going to go to Jason, but Jason says he knows things.
And he did not tell me the answer. Jason says he knows things. That's my poster right there.
That's your meme.
That's my hashtag.
After the show.
Jason says he knows things. Jason watches a lot of movies and History Channel stuff.
All right.
Did you ask the battle?
It is, yeah. So where did that surrender take place?
I know where the surrender took place. Okay. This is Appomattox.
That is indeed Appomattox.
I don't know if that's the battle, but that was the town, the courthouse, Appomattox.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There had been some fighting previous at which they felt like it's no longer viable to try to fight our way out of this.
Yeah.
And then the surrender happened there.
Do we get to like split that point? Because that was a team effort.
You guys do need half a point each, don't you?
I don't know. Just because it's a funny word, too, it stuck out in my mind.
Right. That does make it your turn, though, Jason. And you're actually going to be able to put a little pressure on John in this case and get yourself a lead that might be extended.
Okay.
And so what is the last battle of the War of 1812 with the Commanders?
I have no idea. I don't know the battles. People like that's something lacking in the teaching. Or at least the way I went through it, just the names of battles, you know.
Yeah, some people don't like military history, and they kind of shy away from
it. Yeah, it's a little bit like you learn about the war, but not necessarily how the war played out as battles.
Right.
And we got something deep there, but for real, I don't think that's taught. I mean, I know you're doing it, but I don't. It doesn't seem
we
like...
do actually do this particular battle in detail, but not all of them.
Right.
To your point, you can't. There's not enough time to talk about each and every battle. There's actually military history classes for that, like the 300 level.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Battles.
Yeah, just battles, just generals, just weapons, and that's the whole class.
People walk out of the class just mad. They don't know why. They just want to fight.
That's true. So do you have any kind of guess there, or are we going to turn it on over to John?
I just don't know any battles, not 1812. I'll say nothing. Go ahead.
All right, we're going to turn it over to John. He's
at least
see if
I
he
gave you the
up.
Generals.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you had the common decency to give him half the answer.
Oh, is that what you meant by the shared effort?
Yeah.
I think I know that it's from Lee and... Come on now.
So
I remember the other guy. I just proved it. Lee and Grant.
War of 1812, last battle, and the Commanders. You got anything for us, John?
Nope.
See, I didn't know it either.
That's true.
Hey, go back to your other
point. So, in that case.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Prepare yourselves. It's still going. There it went.
That's it. Can we hear more?
Yeah, well, if you get it wrong, you will.
Okay.
Well. All right, so what you're looking for there is the Battle of New Orleans, and then it was Andrew Jackson, and then the British general was Peckinham. Isn't that a great last name?
Of course it was.
That's a great last name.
Peckinham. I'll give you my sword, sir.
All right, then, let's
Peckinham's from the south in my scenario.
Let's do a couple more here, see if we can get any separation at the very end. So that means it is John's turn. And what president was impeached and on what charge? And you can actually, there's been two overall, so you could do either one if you know the charges.
Clinton?
So Clinton was impeached, correct. They didn't have that back then, obviously, but we've got it now. And then the charge was?
Lying under oath?
Yes, and then also obstruction of justice, but there were two charges. So we are going to...
Give it to him.
Give it to him. That means we are all knotted up.
That's fair enough, yeah.
We are all knotted up here. And let's see if we can do a little round here. Oh, Nixon's deal.
Exact charge.
So now he was not impeached.
Oh, that's right. He quit before the house.
Yeah, yeah. He said, you can't fire me because I quit.
Yeah, it was Johnson. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew Johnson was the one. And the thing they got him for was they had passed a law that said you couldn't fire people out of the executive branch without congressional approval. And he did it. Okay. And they said, oh, you just broke the law, buddy. And so then they had the articles of impeachment. He actually survived that, though, the same way Bill Clinton survived it.
Yeah.
By one vote in his case. So razor-thin margin.
Had to be awkward after that.
I don't think you're going to be, like, shaking hands at the next dinner.
Can't believe you guys impeached me.
Right. Awkward. Absolutely right. So then, that's going to leave it. Whose turn was it anyway? Who went first?
I think
there?
Me.
Jason went. So John gets the chance here.
Yeah, you got the answer right.
Yeah, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Because he got the... Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it would be indeed Jason's turn.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I'll get it wrong, so it works out.
Who invented the following? The telegraph.
I'm going to look like a real idiot if I get that wrong. Morse.
Indeed correct.
Samuel Morse.
And with that,
we're tied.
Jason took the lead.
Oh.
5-4.
Wow.
So let's see if John can do something here. Who is the inventor of the cotton gin? It's like a lightning round.
Okay. We can go fast.
Lightning round.
Samuel something?
Oh, Eli Whitney.
Eli Whitney. Yeah, that was my second guess.
Eli Whitney. So
I
kind of
talked over him. He did say Samuel something.
Yeah, I could have said that afterwards.
Samuel.
You were going to say the correct answer after saying Samuel something. All right, then. So lightning round. Anybody can answer.
Oh, okay.
Sewing machine. The inventor of the sewing machine.
I have no idea. Philco. Razor. Betty Crocker.
I don't know.
All right, we are looking for Elias Howe there. I thought it was Singer. Singer made the first commercially successful one.
Yeah, he did.
But
big money.
Elias Howe was the one. All right, then, lightning round continues. The inventor of the telephone. First
Graham
Bell. Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah.
So John comes a little bit closer.
Right.
And then finally, to finish it up, the big finish, the phonograph. Inventor of the phonograph.
Yeah, I'm panicking. Oh, Edison.
Edison, that would be correct. And with the big finish there.
Oh, I can't beat the guest.
You just did. So it's 6-4, but a very valiant effort on the part of John. Yeah,
I'm suing.
He's doing it. Oh, he feels sorry
for
the old man.
You invited me on here and then made me look like an idiot.
What did I say before this? Every time you give me a test, I look like an idiot.
Uh-huh. Right. We got to pay a few bills around here, though. And our sponsor for this part of the program is the Kellogg's Corn Flakes Burger. It's a meat saver. In addition to serving Kellogg's Corn Flakes as meatless meals, use them to extend your meat in meatless loaves, hamburgers, croquettes, stuffings, casserole dishes, patties. Cereals blend well with meat flavors. Save time, work, fuel, and other foods too. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, the self-starter breakfast.
What is wrong with you?
What?
Making me go through these funny things, laughing.
I think Corn Flakes and meat is not a laughing matter at all.
No, evidently.
I think it's
you
very
it
serious.
All together. No, you know what? You know everything you're doing.
Yes. So what do you think, John?
I love
corn
a good
flake
dish.
Burger?
Do you add milk to it?
It doesn't say not
to.
Yeah,
what like, would
do you eat
if
your
you
burger
did?
Out of like a bowl yeah. with milk?
You could. I mean,
well, I just wanted to sell it, though. You know, why not? I'm sure some people did this.
Well, the meat was rationed.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. You are trying to stretch it, and people are looking for ideas. Because it was 1943, so you get the rationing thing going. The only meats that you can get that are non-rationed are like the innards. So gizzards and
I think
livers.
You said that here before once.
Yeah,
about the innards, like, and I said, you think?
Yeah, and that became a subject of a
yeah. Oh no, they want those innards on that sub. They get down there underwater and they eat those innards.
Your innards come out when you're on the sub. Okay, Jason, it's now the moment of truth for you, which is your takeaway, the biggest thing that you learned out of this experience.
Definitely, we should only do this from now on this podcast.
Only game shows.
Yeah, now I love it.
No serious learning.
It's learning. It's totally learning.
That's true. Especially John learned stuff, right, yes. John?
Yeah.
And okay. We break aside and we talk about Grant or whatever. I'm not kidding. I really did like doing this. I liked having someone else here, John, back and forth. But yeah, game show.
The takeaway is more.
That sounds
like
a theme for season 6.
Oh, the all game show season? I don't know if we're that creative or not. We'll have to see. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return unless we get canceled after doing 10 game shows in a row next season. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. Binge listen at will. If you like what you hear, please leave a review, rate us. If you have a show idea, tell us. Send us an email out there. You can find those on our college website, WKTCTC. What is it?
What are all those letters? Well, you got it all in there.
WKCTC?
Yeah, WKCTC.
Yes. All right, we said it all. If you did not like what you heard, you closed the app 20 minutes ago. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, our special guest, John Gordon, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS, and the rest is history.